This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, this is Robert Reese, and welcome to the CEO Show. This week, you'll learn with over 500,000 listeners the secrets of success from a top CEO. No sound bites, no gotchas. Instead, you'll hear direct insights, stories, and wisdom on personal leadership and on growing your business. Unfiltered and straight from the most successful CEOs. Hope you enjoy. Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, and we're here today with Scott Salmiers. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show.
And Scott is the CEO of ABM Industries, and ABM has been around since 1909, about 100,000 employees, $5 billion. Talk about what the business is.
So what we essentially are is a facility services company, and so the way I like to describe this, picture a building, an airport, a hospital. There are a number of services related to the operation of those facilities, so we'll handle them. We can park cars, right? We do janitorial, we do engineering, mechanical. Anything that happens in a property that's related to its operation, you'll find ABM person doing that.
And when you became CEO in 2015, you had a big strategy. So just talk about that.
Yeah, well, you know, when I became CEO, it wasn't the very first thing. I didn't have the pre-built strategy. We actually worked as a group, as a senior leadership team. We knew that we had to do something going forward to kind of change the dynamic, change the trajectory of the firm. Our services were being commoditized. There was a lot of margin pressure. So as a team, we came up with a new strategy that said, instead of being led by services, we should be led by our industries that we service. So as an example, for 100 years, we had a janitorial division, a parking division, an engineering division. That's not the way ABM's organized anymore. Now we have an aviation division, an education division, a healthcare division. So we align by our customers because our thesis is that if we do that, if we get to know our customers better, and we get to understand their industries, we can serve them better. And for us, to be seen as something more than a commodity is kind of the secret sauce of what we're trying to do going forward.
So how do you actually do that? You come up with a team, and there's a strategy to focus by verticals. Realistically, a lot of CEOs listening in would like to restructure their business, and you have 100,000 employees, and it's been around over 100 years. How do you do that?
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, I could probably talk to you about 100 different things you have to do, but I think the most important thing is you have to have an aligned senior management team. You have to. And it's okay as you go through the strategy, as you go through the framework. I think it's terrific to have discourse. It's terrific to have debate, but you have to walk out of that conference room aligned because it's a big job, right? It's a big mission. And if your senior management team isn't aligned, your success, I mean, I could just tell you, I've seen it, it just doesn't work.
So, how do you align a senior management team? Are there any specific things that you do, unique practices?
For me, it's all about collaboration. And mm-hmm. It's been my whole career, right? So it wasn't something that I had to read in a textbook to figure out. You know, again, if you have the right people in the room and everyone's motives are pure, and I know it doesn't always work that way because everyone's got their own interests, but the truth of the matter is if everyone has the right intention, which is to make the organization better, that's how you do it, through collaboration. And that's what we did. Again, we had a process, and it was a pretty rigid process about how we would get there, but everybody had a voice.
Give me an example of something you did to collaborate.
I think for us it was about, you know, this is going to sound simplistic, being in the room together. What we made sure of is, and again, we're a distributed organization, so we have people all over the country, senior leaders all over the country. None of these meetings were by phone. And it wasn't even the kind of thing where we said, well, of the 9 of us, 7 could be in a room and 2 could be on the phone. No, we said that can't happen. We all have to be together. We have to see each other's
really?
Body language, mm-hmm. right? There's a difference, right? When you're distant and on the phone versus together. And that was one of our organizing thoughts on this, is that we had to be together.
How many people were in that team?
It went anywhere from 7 to 12, depending on what we were
And you'd about. Always meet in different locations or wherever you met, but how often? Once a month?
When this was hot and heavy, it was probably every 2 weeks, every 3 weeks. This was, you know, this has to become a priority. Remember, as you said earlier, we're a 100,000 person organization, right? A public company, New York Stock Exchange, $5 billion company with over 50,000 clients. So it's imperative for alignment. Again, you know, I keep going back to that, but you can imagine if the management team's not aligned on this, how it could go wrong.
No, and it's exciting. I read in Fortune magazine there was a feature on you in the Fortune 500 where you talked about this, and they really were excited about what you did.
Yeah, well, you know, it's it was a big deal for us even to be a Fortune 500 company. It's the first time in the company's history that we did that. So that was a lot of fun for us, right? It's pretty energizing.
This is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, where we speak with the CEOs who reinvent the fabric of America. We're here with Scott Salmirs, and he's talking about ABM and the whole turnaround of the company. So let's talk about another contingency who you've already spoken with me about, which is the board, who you said is so important. Now, your first day on CEO, as CEO, you come in and talk about what you thought there.
Yeah, well, we were talking about, you know, the different challenges. And, you know, I say this, you know, when other CEOs ask me about, you know, what is one of the more challenging things about being a CEO, and they'd expect me to go towards the, you know, managing the company, managing this large-scale transformation. And I say is, you know, getting used to the fact that, you know, you go through your whole career managing, you know, or being managed by one person. You had a boss. Every now and then you'd have a situation where you had a boss, but you matrixed into somebody else also. Now you get into a format where you have nine bosses. And they're all, you know, fairly senior leadership people that bringing different backgrounds and experiences to bear. And so it's a whole different construct. And that is challenging to get your arms around. And it has been a great learning process for me. And, you know, I've enjoyed it, but it was certainly challenging at the start.
So what advice do you have to other CEOs on working with the board successfully? Because clearly you've engage them in a great strategy that seems to be really working very, very well.
I think there has to be this recognition of what I just said, knowing that everyone on the board is coming there with different backgrounds, different experiences, different levels of understanding your specific business. And sometimes there's an expectation that you think, oh, they should be expert at your business. And that doesn't make any sense, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of value when they're not expert in what you're doing, because you get different perspectives. So you kind of have to rationalize that, because again, it's a very different format. Think about, you know, again, growing up in your career, you report to somebody who's probably a subject matter expert in what you're doing, and that you're so it's different. Like I said, different construct.
So you mentioned the word cascade, about cascading this message through the culture. So now you've engaged the whole senior management team. The board's been working, collaborating with you, and that's the word you use, collaborating. How can you cascade to 100,000 people? It's a lot of people.
Yeah, it's tremendously difficult. It's one of the bigger challenges we have. And to be candid, you know, we're not there yet. It's one of the major work streams of our new reorganization, is engaging and communicating with this, again, distributed, large-scale staff. And, you know, so we do video, we do memo, we do town halls. I'm constantly traveling around doing town halls, but that's still not enough. What you have to do is you have to build a culture of communication, right, where people feel compelled to cascade the message down. It can't be that, you know, our transformation, we call it our 2020 vision, right? So 2020 vision can't reside with the top 200 people in the firm. It has to cascade down. People have to understand it, and it's a challenge, because, again, not only do you have to get the message communicated the right way, you have to change the culture so that people want to cascade that message down.
So what will you never capitulate on? Will you make sure that you always do, so that it is this culture of communication?
for me, it's about always talking about it. Always, you know, I think there is something that says you have to say something 9 times before mm-hmm. people. So for me, what I will not stop doing is traveling around, doing town halls, engaging my senior leadership, and making sure they understand it, and making sure they understand how important it is to me that they're communicating to their people.
And do you have any examples of things you've done with communicating, you know, when you're traveling around? And you have about 40 seconds until commercial.
Yeah, no, I think for me, every time I travel around, if I'm going to meet a client or I'm going to a conference, I'll always stop in the local office. If I'm not there specifically to see the local office, which most of the times I am, and it's doing town halls, getting everybody together, doing Q&A, and then after that, stopping by everybody's cubicle, hi, how are you, you know, and, you know, really bringing that kind of human side, because I do care. You know, we have an amazing group of people.
This is Robert Reese on the CEO Show. When we come back, we're going to talk about the customer experience. But for now, everyone know, a key is collaboration and create a culture of communication. That's if you want to turn around your company. You may not have 100.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm, with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Back pain doesn't take vacations. It never celebrates holidays. It's on the job 24/7 to keep your life exactly where it is, in limbo. But it doesn't have to be that way, because Laser Spine Institute can help you take back your life from chronic neck and back pain. With a less than 1-inch incision, our minimally invasive procedures have provided relief to over 60,000 patients with a 97% patient satisfaction rate. So get ready to stand tall and live the life you've imagined for yourself without pain. Are you or a loved one suffering from a bulging disc? Herniated disc, spinal stenosis, pinched nerve, or degenerative disc disease? Call our spine care consultants now at
855-519-BACK.
For a no-cost MRI review and to learn more, it's time to say goodbye to chronic neck and back pain.
Call 855-519-BACK now to see if laser spine surgery is right for you. That's 855-519-BACK.
What have you got to lose? Laser Spine Institute, the leader in minimally invasive spine surgery.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX, or my website, danpilla.com.
Why be held hostage by your wireless carrier for 2 years? What if you had no contract, no activation fees, no hidden costs, tracking, tracing, harvesting customer data, or draconian gimmicks? All on America's largest 4G, LTE, GSM, and Sprint networks. Introducing Pix Wireless. Activate your Sprint, AT&T, or unlock GSM phones with Pix, and choose from an arsenal of monthly plans or build your own. Starting at only $2.99 per month. Get connected now. Call or click 1-866-205-9513 or PixWireless.com, spelled PIXWireless.com. Pick Pix and get connected today.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care, as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Today, living in the United States means that your online privacy is at risk. Regaining that privacy means going abroad. Privacy Abroad offers secure online privacy because our servers are located in Switzerland, a safe haven for digital communications. As a law-abiding citizen, you have nothing to hide, but you certainly have something to lose. Regain your Fourth Amendment rights and your peace of mind. Go to patriot.privacyabroad.com now. That's patriot.privacyabroad.com.
Hi, this is Robert Reese, and we're here with Scott Salmiers. And he is the CEO of ABM Industries, about a $5 billion company with 100,000 employees. And we've spoken a lot about your culture and the transformation to go into verticals. Now let's talk about that customer experience. So now you have the verticals. How does that translate to your clients?
Yes, that's kind of the challenge, right? Because just because you've reorganized doesn't mean a different message is going to get in the field. So I think the way you do that is through training, right? So we have, as part of our transformation, we have a work stream in the HR group about employee engagement, employee training, everything from leadership training for our senior managers all the way down to the project managers in the field that are managing the people, the field workers that are interacting with our customers and our clients. So it goes back to what we talked about earlier, clear communication, letting them know, you know, what's so important to us with our culture. You know, we for 100 years have been this culture that's been embedded in service and relationships. So I think if you were to ask me about our culture, I would say, you know, service, relationships, and then community. Because when I go around and I do the town halls, what always resonates with me is what our people are doing in their communities. Because if you think about ABM, we're not making semiconductors that's shipped off to China, right? We live in our communities. We work in our communities. We're performing services in our communities. What you find is the ABM workers are also working in homeless shelters, at food banks, at hospitals. They're organizing the groups of people. And this year, actually, one of the things that we did is for our management staff, everyone's getting an extra day off if they want to work in their community and volunteer.
And that's how are people taking to this?
It's just being rolled out now, so this is probably going to be unveiled on your radio show. But our top leadership knows about this, so that's a new initiative. But you know, what we're trying to do is we're trying to activate our communities through our people and engaging our people. And the message with this is we support what you're doing in your community.
That is great. And you've done also something very special on community involvement and philanthropic called Donate 8. I thought that's a unique thing. Just explain what that is.
Yeah, so in New York, our registration rate for people to be organ donors is last. And we're 50 out of 50 states, you know. And so basically, if you're in New York and you need an organ transplant, you'll die. And one of the few states that are like that. So myself and a group of real estate executives in New York City who had no personal interest in this got together and said, you know, this is making us crazy that people are dying and you're not looking for a cure. We're not raising money hoping to get a cure someday. We're raising money to create awareness so people will sign up and register. And if someone needs an organ, they're not going to die. And we've been at this thing. Next year will be our 5-year anniversary. We raised a bunch of money. And it's something we're really proud of. And again, it's helping the community.
And your heart seems to really be in this place of being a great CEO, helping the community, helping the culture, helping your clients.
Yeah, well, look, I feel like I'm so privileged. You know, I don't take my responsibilities lightly, being the CEO and leading this organization. So again, the word that always comes back to me with this job is privilege, and so I treat every day that way. And it's really true. I'm just so excited to be in this job, and so excited to try to lead this organization into the future. You know, it's a big responsibility. There's only been seven. I think I'm the seventh CEO in the firm's 109-year history. So, you know,
a lot of weight on your shoulders, my friend Scott.
Because I think you think about it, how many public companies you know, or been around for 100 years, that list is tiny. I got to make sure we're around for another 100. So
that's great. So you obviously have a lot of passion and a lot of authenticity. I've interviewed hundreds and hundreds of CEOs, and you just come across who you are, transparent. What are you most passionate about?
What I'm most passionate about is the workforce, engaging the employees. I'm just so excited. My aspiration is that when I look back on my tenure, I feel like that anyone that worked at ABM would say, I feel like while I was at ABM, I was able to build a future for myself and my family. I feel like I am a better person for being at ABM, and I really believe in my core that we can get that done. I really believe that, and we've surrounded ourselves with a team of people that believe that, and hopefully people feel that they're better for working at ABM, and that's what we're striving for.
Yep, and I want to ask, there's another passion, music. We'll ask that next, though.
Yeah.
But before that, I'm just wondering, 100,000 people, they become part of the clients, and you have, everyone knows you, big clients, Bank of America, Google, Amazon, American Airlines, San Francisco 49ers, right, JetBlue. But so anyway, with all of these, your people have to become part of the client culture. What do you do, I know you're big on training, to help them accomplish that?
Yeah, that's a hard thing, right? We always say that we want to be an extension of the client's brand. We want to be able to communicate whatever. We like to think of ourselves, you know, I don't want this to sound too hokey, but we like to think of ourselves as the experienced people, right? Because we're coming in contact with our clients, customers, and we have to be an extension of their brand. We have to help create an experience that our clients are trying to create for their customers, right? So, There's no secret playbook for this. I think if you have a culture of service, you have a culture that's saying relationships matters, people matter, that will translate, and we'll use that word again, cascade down to people, because you know what? You can't open up a training manual and say, be customer service oriented. You have to onboard the right people that have the right attitude and will thrive in a culture where there's engagement at all levels. And that's what we're trying to do.
I want to talk about music. I know you're passionate. I'm looking around here seeing Paul McCartney signed albums, The Monkees, who you love as well.
Right.
So what has music taught you about being a Fortune 500 CEO, and what can other CEOs learn about music?
Yeah, so I'm not sure that... I wouldn't necessarily say that music taught me anything. I think music is just a great place for me to be reflective, to kind of take a time out. You know, I think every CEO would say this, you need space. You need time. You know, nobody ever thought of a great idea in the middle of a meeting. You think of a great idea when you're either on vacation or you have time alone that's blocked out. Music for me is a way to get away from it and think, and I'll have more good ideas. I think my staff, you know, hates when I'm listening to music, because they know I'm going to come back with 10 ideas. So, you know, for me, it's just a great place to find that space.
Talk about what is the future of ABM?
The future of ABM, I mean, for us, you know, it's really engaging this 2020 vision that we started on of understanding our customers, getting closer to our customers, figuring out how we can solve problems for them. And I think what's going to happen, if we really are thought about as someone who can solve problems, they're going to ask us to do more, and they're going to keep us around longer. And at the end of the day, isn't that what every company aspires to?
Exactly. And on that note, so everyone listening in, all of our CEOs, be an extension of your client's brand and involve in the community and have this culture of communication. Great having you on the CEO show.
I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
How confident are you in your food storage? If it was all you had to rely on, would it sustain your family? Hard times, good times, or any time, New Mana Storable Food is the proven superior choice. Learn for yourself what happened when one man ate only New Mana Storable Food for an entire month. Online at PowerPrepper.com. That's PowerPrepper.com. Experience the New Mana difference.
America made food stores are allowed to eat. Yum! Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
Winter has just begun, and are you already tired of being cold? How would you like to never be cold again? This is Dale with Fortress Clothing, and I'm here to tell you, you will never be cold again with Fortress. If you're tired of freezing your butt off, elk hunting, sitting in a tree stand, deer hunting, winter camping, fishing, ice fishing, no longer fear the cold. If you snowmobile, ski, snowboard, get Fortress. Sledding with the kids, shoveling the walks, shopping, or if you or your spouse get cold feet at home, get Fortress. If you're stuck outside working in the cold or find yourself in an emergency situation, get our winter bug out bag and you will never be cold again. Fortress is the answer, so quit complaining and go to fortressclothing.com. It's a mid-layer garment that goes with anything you want to wear. Enter coupon code radio and get 20% off any item. Go now while we still have inventory. FortressClothing.com.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Calben Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, and we're here today with Dr. Steve Corwin. How are you?
Well, Robert, how are you? Thanks.
Good. And Steve is the president and CEO of New York Presbyterian, which is one of the largest healthcare systems in all of America. So let's start off and talk. Right now you have, it's about a $7 billion organization, about 35,000 employees, and is one of top six hospitals in America. But in 1979, you graduated, you joined healthcare. Talk through what led you into the healthcare industry.
Well, growing up as a young New Yorker, my father had lived through the Great Depression. His father died right at the time of the crash in October of 1929 from rheumatic heart disease and an embolus. So it was always seared into his mind growing up as a latchkey kid that he wanted somebody to help people with heart disease. And so at a very early age, I was interested in becoming a cardiologist. My grandfather on my mother's side then died of a heart attack when I was in fifth grade, and that sort of spurred me on to medicine. It was one of those things that I've always had a passion for. I don't think I ever wanted to do anything else in life other than that, and went to medical school. I went through the six-year program at Northwestern, and I graduated at the age of 23 in 1979, and the only thing on my mind at that point was becoming the best doctor that I could be.
And so you joined New York Presby. You moved on to become the chief medical officer as well.
Yes. Look, I've been a lifer at New York Presbyterian. I became an internist and then a cardiologist. I met my wife at the hospital. Our children were born at the hospital. Gradually, over a period of time, I moved on to medical administration. I was asked to head a number of task forces, then ICUs. The then Columbia Presbyterian got into trouble financially in the late 1980s, and I gradually took on more and more of an administrative role.
But your goal was not to be in administration. Your goal was to be in medicine. So why would you go that direction?
Well, you know, life changes. And I think that we all recognize that in our careers we have several sub-careers. I realized that, A, I had a passion for doing it. I think I had some talent at doing it. And I realized that one could impact healthcare in the country and impact healthcare amongst patients by being in an administrative role. I was told very early on by a mentor, just remember, you're a physician who happens to be a good administrator, not an administrator who happens to be a physician. And carrying that ethos of being a physician, I think, has helped me through the career. I understand what it's like to take care of somebody dying. I understand what it's like to take care of somebody at 2 o'clock in the morning in an ICU. That's very meaningful, I think.
Is there a message there that could translate to, we have 600,000 CEOs and listening in to this show, that could translate to other CEOs?
Having knowledge of your business is an essential aspect of what we all do, and having a visceral knowledge of what makes that business tick is really important. I tell our trainees all the time, look, if you're coming into this with a non-clinical background, you better understand clinical medicine. If you come in with a clinical background, a nurse, a physician, a therapist, you have to understand the non-clinical aspects. You have to understand how this business actually runs.
So how does someone learn the other side? How did you go learn the other side? What did you have to go through to learn accounting, to learn technology?
I learned it with scrapes and bruises and a lot of hard work. I wouldn't advise others to learn it that way. I learned it by myself. I learned it through mentors. I learned it in small coursework. I taught myself accounting. I taught myself how to read a balance sheet. I would read the Wall Street Journal assiduously. I'd read business magazines. I'd learn about leadership and management. Took some coursework in that regard. But now, having had that experience with our young physicians who are interested in administration, we assiduously try to give them a path of education and learning to say, okay, here's what you need to know about leadership, management. Here's what you need to know about finance. And we actually give them coursework, and we sign up for that to make sure that they have the requisite knowledge. I don't think I did it the right way, but I think I have an idea of what somebody needs who does not have that background.
Any challenge you had to come, you know, it took only 32 years later, here you are, become CEO in 2011.
Right.
Any challenge, main challenge, it was a milestone that you had to overcome, and you said, I did it, and now I'm ready.
Well, you know, It's like the dog who chases the car and finally catches it. What do you do? I felt that I had proven myself as a chief medical officer and chief operating officer. The question was, how could I make my mark as a CEO? And I think being a CEO is different than any other job you can possibly have. It's a leadership job, it's an inspiration job, and it's also a how do we chart the course of this great organization? One of the principal things that I think is important for a CEO is to be a good steward. New York Hospital was founded in 1771. There's a reason that organization has existed for close to 250 years, and I'm not going to be the guy to tank that organization. We need to be stewards of our organizations and move them to the next level. And I think that my thought process in becoming the CEO was, how do we make my mark? How do we make the place a better place? And how do we make sure that we're financially responsible, that we do our fiduciary duty, that we steward this organization through what's arguably a very turbulent period of time in healthcare in the United States?
This is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, where we speak with the CEOs who have reinvented the fabric of America. We're here today with Dr. Steve Corwin, who is the CEO of New York Presbyterian, one of the largest healthcare systems and most awarded healthcare systems in America. So we're going to talk later in the show about healthcare and what CEOs need to do and how healthcare is changing. But let's talk first about your first day as CEO. What was on your mind? Now you're talking about being steward. What were you thinking when you first moved in that office? What do I need to focus on? What are my priorities?
There's no question that my first priority as CEO was to look at the healthcare landscape and realize that we needed to get larger. We needed to develop economies of scale. We needed to develop a regional system of healthcare to meet the needs of what the Affordable Care Act put into motion. Mm-hmm. So remember, the Affordable Care Act insures more people, but it also mandates that one take care of populations. And so our response to that was to say, we're going to build a regional network of care. Regardless of where you enter that, you're going to get New York Presbyterian quality care. So my first thought upon entering the job was, I've got a great academic medical center. I've got great faculty from two terrific medical schools, Columbia and Weill Cornell.
That's sort of unique, isn't it?
It is, and I think that what makes it unique and terrific for our patients is that these are some of the best physicians in the world. And let me give you an example of that. If you look at Medicare mortality statistics for heart failure, pneumonia, heart attack, we're at the very top of the country. That's due to not only the great care that you receive from the hospital, but these great physicians. So we wanted to leverage the talent of those physicians. How do you do that in a regional system of care? We made the decision that with our partners, Weill Cornell and Columbia, those two medical schools, we were going to develop an unparalleled system of regional care. That requires time, it requires effort, but it required, as you said, the thought on the first day, we're going to need to get bigger. How do we do that?
And when you get bigger, there are the challenges of scope as well. So you have about 9,000 physicians, and you have 35,000 total associates. What are some unique practices that you use to build a culture which has been talked about a great deal as a tremendous culture?
What's the saying, culture eats strategy for breakfast?
There you go. That's right.
Okay. So culture is critically important. The culture of putting a patient first is the most important thing. Now, everyone's going to say that. We always put the patient first. The question is,
1 minute before break, so I want to hear a specific example that CEOs could use in their jobs as well.
I'll tell you a specific example. We extol and actually use examples of our employees doing something extraordinary above and beyond, reward them, publicize it, and make sure that everyone knows they do that. I'll give you a perfect example. We had a security guard at our Morgan Stanley Children's Hospital who resuscitated an infant in the driveway, got that infant to the ICU, the child lived. You got to take that security guard and hug him, because that's what we're all about.
That's something. So everyone listening in, think about your whole organization and where are pockets where you could take people and have them advance their careers to add more value.
the client. And Robert, let me just say one more thing. That fundamentally assumes a key thing in a culture, and that is respect. You have to have respect for everybody working in your organization.
Robert Greece on the CEO Show. We'll be back in a few with Dr. Steve Corwin.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
If you or someone you care about loves outdoor adventure, then check out Slingbow.com for some unique holiday gift ideas. That's Slingbow.com, where we have some innovative new products for the archer, hunter, or bow fishing enthusiast in your family. Now through January, use the promo code HOLIDAY to get free shipping in the U.S. or Canada. And from all of us at Slingbow Industries, have a safe, joyous, and peaceful holiday season.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Have you ever thought you'd like to flip houses but didn't know how or where to get the money? Are you ready to be your own boss so you can start living the good life? Hi, I'm Preston Neely. I used to be so broke. I had my electricity turned off 9 times, but I figured out a way to quit my job and find financial freedom in real estate. For a limited time, I want to send you a free copy of my smash hit selling book, How to Get Rich in Real Estate. It shows you how to copy exactly what I did so you can make money from the comfort of your own home without even doing any manual labor. I've already given away 5,000 books and they're going fast. To get one before they're gone, call 1-800-958-9256. Listen, if you're sick and tired of stressing about money, this book could change your life. It's short, fun to read, easy to understand, and awesome. To find out how to get your free book while supplies last, call 1-800-958-9256. Call 1-800-958-9256. 1-800-958-9256.
Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, and we're here today with Dr. Steve Corwin, who is the CEO of New York Presbyterian. You were talking about culture. You told some great stories. Give more examples of specific things you do to build that culture.
Respect is fundamental. So how do you build respect in a culture? It can be as simple as asking employees to say hello to each other. It's recognizing people who go above and beyond. I'll give you a great example. We had an employee in one of our ICUs who noticed that day after day, she was a unit clerk, the person who greets patients when they come in, noticed that day after day, an elderly male had come in to visit his very sick wife in the ICU. And she noticed that he was there all the time. It was Valentine's Day. She went out, she got him a card that he could give to his sick wife, who was
really?
On a ventilator, and said, I thought that you would like to give this to your wife.
Huh.
Now, if you can't recognize somebody like that and show that as the CEO, this matters to you, then you shouldn't be a CEO.
Now, you have 9,000 physicians who come from a very different academic mindset than other employees. How do you manage the different types of cultures that you have?
I think that one of the great things of running a healthcare institution is it's very clear what the mission is.
Mm-hmm.
It's very clear that it's about the patient all the time. And I have found, no matter who the physician is, that when you say, let's think about what's best for the patient, you always get to the right result. Because number one, they know that I have been in that position, and I think that's important with doctors. I really do. But more importantly than that, I think everyone has that ethos of, yeah, we should be doing the right thing for the patient. Let's put politics aside. Let's put our squabbles aside. I think our federal government could use a little of that, you know, that type of ethos. But I think that that's really where it comes from.
And for CEOs listening in, once you hear that and you focus on your customer, everyone becomes galvanized and aligned.
Yeah, and look, I don't mean to minimize execution, because you can have a great strategy, and unless you execute on that, you can't make it happen. But I think execution depends on culture. Can you get somebody to drive towards that result? Can you get somebody to understand what it really means to be customer-centric? Can you show examples of that so that everyone understands, gee, that really is going the extra mile. I should be doing that.
So you are one of the top organizations right now in healthcare. There's about 5,000 hospitals. You're cited as number 6 in U.S. News and World Report nationally, number 1 in the New York area. What is the future for New York Presbyterian?
Well, we want to be number 1. We want to be number 1 because we want New Yorkers to feel that they've got the best hospital in the country. I know rating systems are arbitrary to a certain extent, but our goal should be nothing short of being number 1. Why? Because that means that you're delivering the very best possible patient care. That a patient coming to us says, I have the best chance at survival of having a good outcome if I go to New York Presbyterian. Healthcare is changing, and it will change. You're seeing huge strides in treatment of cancer. You're seeing big changes in the treatment of neurologic diseases and cardiac diseases. It's an exciting place to be. I think healthcare is going to continue to get better. I know we all focus on the cost aspect of healthcare. I actually think we can take a lot of cost out of the healthcare system.
How?
Number one, quality.
Mm-hmm.
If you have less complications, if you're providing great quality, you're going to reduce costs. Number two, you eliminate unnecessary utilization. So as a hospital CEO, you're in the position of your top line revenue doesn't grow unless your volume grows. So you say to me, how can you reconcile reducing utilization where at the same time you're trying to encourage utilization? My answer to that is we should do everything we can to get unnecessary utilization out. We have an extensive second opinion program. We do a lot around telehealth. We're trying to get utilization out because we believe that the remaining utilization will come to us because of our quality. So I don't think that the two are irreconcilable. In fact, I think they're mutually compatible.
Will the future of American healthcare be where there are more larger systems specialized, or what will the landscape look like, do you think, in 10 years?
I think it's inevitable. Consolidation was inevitable. I think that the Affordable Care Act accelerated that. You have to get economies of scale. You have to develop regional systems of care to be able to take advantage of that. The capital required in hospital now, both information technology and bricks and mortar, requires real scale. So consolidation will happen, and I think that we will end up with a public-private partnership that makes sense. I'm a big believer in the expansion of Medicaid for poor and indigent. I'm also a very big believer in employer-based health care. I think the combination of Medicaid, Medicare, and employer-based health care gives us a vibrant system.
And what can CEOs do? They look at healthcare costs, it's usually 20% of their P&L. What could they do to reduce healthcare costs?
Well, CEOs know that what drives healthcare costs is a small percentage of their employees. So health and wellness, prevention, those are good long-term strategies, get people to smoke less, et cetera. But the biggest thing that they can do is take a look at those patients who are driving most of the cost and get them cared for in a meaningful way. We did an experiment with an indigent population in Washington Heights, which is northern Manhattan, called the Targeted Care Initiative. That reduced ER visits and admissions in asthmatic, diabetics, and congestive heart failure patients by 30% across the board. If you take patients who are chronically ill and likely to use the hospital frequently, whether it's an employed population or an indigent population, you can reduce their cost of care.
So we have a minute left. Let's look at digital disruption and how this is impacting healthcare. And I know there's precision medicine, there's a lot of positives, a lot of negatives, cybersecurity. What's your take, 1 minute left, on the future of healthcare in a digital world?
I think that telemedicine has the ability to potentially transform the healthcare landscape, both in terms of access, quality, and cost. Imagine having a sick parent that can have a telemedicine visit as opposed to having to bring that parent in and lose a day of work to see somebody in the office. Imagine having a second opinion at your beck and call. Imagine having an experienced neuroradiologist read a scan from 200 miles away, all of which we can do now. So telemedicine has got great promise, and I think that's what people should think about as they look at medicine in the future.
Well, Steve, a pleasure having you on the CEO show.
Robert, thank you very much. It was very enjoyable.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro1 G2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be, clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.